This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Here, if you yell, how loud is it?
If I yell? I don't.
What's the loudest you'll get?
Demi, that's crazy!
I'm so
You're going to say that a lot.
Punch it!
It's time for
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Hello to everyone out there in Jamster Jam.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I almost just said Jamsterdam, and I was like, now hold on. There's another one at the end of that sentence.
Jamster Jam, baby.
Jamster Jam.
Where we eat jam and not marmalade.
Mm-hmm. And we smoke punch instead of weed.
Yeah.
It's a pun, kind of.
Not
everything has to be funny on this show.
No, we're serious today, baby.
Yeah, today we're serious, which means making jokes that aren't funny.
I'm Yel.
I'm Demi.
What are we doing here?
On the podcast?
Yeah, why does this exist?
I ask myself that every time we come in the studio. But what we do here on Punch Up the Jam is we take a song. People might know the song, people might not know the song. It was a hit song for sure. And then we talk about it, dissect it. And then, you know, try to give it a little bit of a touch up. Try to put some makeup on that pig.
Constructive criticism.
Sure.
Or, you know, just drag it through hell and back.
Drag it through the mud. Try to shit talk it because we're jealous of the person's success is what it always really comes down to.
I will be shocked if we get through today without me getting an aneurysm, to be honest.
Well, you might hear Miel die on air.
Before I die, should we maybe, I don't know, introduce the other person
silently? Let's do it! Woo! You know him as a writer from SNL. You know him as a writer from It's Always Sunny. You know him from his YouTube comedy duo, Britannic. It's Nick Coker!
Hello. What a very introspective introduction to this show.
Should have just read your entire IMDb.
Yeah.
People love you.
You guys really self-examined yourselves. Up top.
Yeah, you know, it's raining today, and I feel like something
really
about that just makes me want to get down into it.
Just really so. Great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a fitting song, I feel like.
Right? Coming out of why do we do this show?
Do you guys want to talk about how you met now? Because you teased this, and I'm really interested. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. So we met. I was coming to L.A. from New York to shoot one of my friends' web series, Next Time on Lonnie. It's a fantastic show that nobody watched, but it's truly so, so good. And they had told us, like, oh, we're sending some, I guess, interns or I don't know what your official title was to pick you guys up from the airport.
What?
So we didn't know anything. It was just like, you'll have a ride from the airport. So we get off, Brian and I get off the plane, and we go to the baggage claim. And what we see waiting for us at baggage claim is this image, which I'll just show you.
We'll post it on Instagram, but we'll also describe
fantastic radio. I see Demi and somebody else. Who is the other
My friend guy? Matt Stryker. He was my roommate at the time.
Demi, you look 8 years old.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you look like a baby.
So basically, it was my last semester of college. I was out here doing internships for Ben Stiller's production company, Red Hour. And my friend and I were big fans of Britannic, and I told him that I was supposed to pick you guys up from the airport. And he was just like, you gotta bring me with you. I have to meet them. And we were like, okay, but there's gotta be some bit involved, or else it's just, hey, he doesn't work for the company, but he's here too. So we were like, let's dress up as chauffeurs.
Yeah,
so
you both have fake mustaches on.
What's in this photo, which should be the, like, thumbnail or something, so people can just look on. But it's Demi and Matt dressed in tiny little suits. They both have tiny little mustaches and little chauffeur caps, and they're holding a very large sign that reads Brit and Tonic, which I immediately saw, immediately loved, and immediately took a picture of. Like, wasn't like, hey, hello, how are you? I was like, very good. I will store this.
I don't think we told my boss what I was doing either, so I think after the day ended, he probably heard about it and was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was wondering, because my initial thing was, oh, Alex my friend who was stars in and co-writes the series, I was like, oh, he like put them up to this. This is very funny of him to do. And then I found out, oh no, this is what the
interns
of their own volition.
Did you buy that hat?
I want to say yes.
Demi.
We probably got a lot of... No, because I think we then went on to shoot Tiny Cops using that hat.
Oh,
so we got some
God.
Use out of it. We used that mustache for everything. I just had like a palette of mustaches, and we were like, cool, take two off, and we're good.
Wow. Yeah. What a backstory. We'll definitely post that picture, because holy shit, Demi, you literally look like a baby wearing big shoes.
We look like the fucking Little Rascals. It's great.
Really, you do? So, Nick, why did you want to do this this song, Daughters, by
yes.
John Mayer?
Well, so I would have done any John Mayer song because I was obsessed with
really?
John Mayer in junior high and high school.
Oh,
it defined my identity.
How?
I would get into screaming fights at parties defending him.
Oh my God.
What were other people saying that you had to defend?
Well, here's I had sort of painted myself into a corner. Because what had happened was, I'm from Atlanta, and John Mayer came, dropped out of Berkeley and came to Atlanta and started performing at this place called Eddie's Attic, which is this really amazing, like, coffee shop, acoustic guitar venue in Atlanta that... their open mic night is legitimately amazing.
Like a concert.
Yeah, it's like there's just such good people come and perform there. And so he was just like a local guy who was performing there. And so I had heard about him that way. And so he was like this cool indie like singer-songwriter that I was like, this guy's great. And I was like, I'm a big fan of this guy. And then all of a sudden, like a year later, he got really famous and everyone was like, this guy's lame.
Oh,
and
no.
I had already been like, no, no. So I was sort of like, I feel this often in life where I will find a piece of music or a movie and I'll be like, this is fantastic. And then it gets popular and everyone's like, that sucked.
Yeah.
We all are like, cool, Los Angeles and New York of the world has decided that, no, this music is bad or that movie is bad. I'm like... Billy Zane in Titanic, where he goes like, Picasso, what? Nothing will become of him. These are just shapes.
Wow. Okay, so was it physically apparent that you were into John Mayer?
Like,
did you like try to look like him? Did you make dumb faces? Like, how did you pay homage?
Did you learn his songs on guitar?
Yeah.
I certainly tried to do all of this, but I don't think I was very successful at it.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I was very insecure growing up, and I think I tried on a bunch of different identities. And one
As
of them, for a couple months, was, oh, maybe I'll be a sensitive singer-songwriter and guitar player.
Directly inspired by John Mayer.
But I am so bad at music.
I am
shockingly can't sing at all. And
shockingly, you look like you can sing.
Yeah,
I see you, and I'm like, this guy's got golden pipes.
Oh, let's hear it. No, I can't sing, and I can't play music either. But I own several guitars.
More than one, and you're flexing for somebody.
Yeah.
Well, this song. Okay, I'm gonna do my best to remain semi-objective, but. If you ever wanted to hear someone just get so angry that it's like no longer entertaining, this will probably be the episode. I'm sorry in advance.
I'm excited because I had never heard this song in full, and I don't think have ever really heard too like I don't think I've heard a John Mayer song in full and been like, I know this is a John Mayer song.
Oh, really?
He just missed me for the entire 2000s.
I probably know at least like 2.5 full records worth.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, I know a lot of John Mayer.
I don't know how he skipped me. Like, I remember. He used to do videos with Kanye, and I was like, this guy seems funny. And then a bunch of controversial stuff happened. And I was like, well, I wasn't attached to him. It's fine.
Well, how old were you in 2003?
I was 11.
Yeah, so that's probably why I missed you. This isn't music for, like, kids, really.
Sure.
I feel like, okay, so this song came out in 2003, obviously, from Heavier Things. The other single on that album being Bigger Than My Body, which was a wacky song.
Song about John Mayer's head.
Really?
He has a massive head. It's not actually, but it's like,
okay.
I mean, that'd be insane, but it's...
I was about to be like, oh, props to him for calling himself
His head is massive.
So everything that we're going to say in this episode wouldn't be that crazy. People write problematic songs all the time,
sure.
But they don't usually go on to win the Grammy for Song of the Year.
I feel like they do.
This one, Grammy for Song of the Year, and the Grammy for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance, a category that has since been disbanded. it is worth noting that he was 26 when this came out, so if that helps you be a little more sympathetic to all the horrible shit that he says in it, but we'll get there. And that's truly all of the notes I have about this song. There's not a lot to say.
So yesterday, while clipping this, was the first time I'd listened to this song in full. I'm just going to say right now, I have no idea what the fuck this song is saying.
At multiple points.
I'm just like, what does that phrasing mean?
You're in for a treat.
I definitely, like, I remember when this song came out. This is one of the songs that I actually did not like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
This, because it was also, I never liked the singles, the songs that he released as singles.
Yeah.
There was always other songs on the album, and I would scream this to people at parties, like,
you don't know his best work!
You don't know his good stuff! Like, and then I'd play them the good stuff, and they'd be like, this is the same. I've never really liked the song, and then when I, you know, when we were doing it for this, I gave it a couple more listens and looked at the lyrics and was like, oh.
What the fuck is this?
The message is, what is very clear, like, from whatever I first thought it was, which is fathers be good to your daughters,
right?
But then, like, the sort of reasoning, the opening verse has something that I was like,
say what?
Ooh, what do you mean it's got nothing to do with you?
Right. I mean, we'll get into it, but I'm gonna do my best not to actually physically hurt myself. This song has always made me furious from the moment I first heard it. I don't have an issue with John Mayer as a songwriter per se. I think as a dude, he sounds like a real fucking asshole, and I don't think he's funny. And now he's like trying to be funny, I guess.
Was there a point at which you came around on John Mayer and were like, I don't think I like his music anymore?
Great follow-up question. We did not find out where you currently stand.
Where I currently stand is I no longer have that strong an opinion.
Okay.
Like, when Heavier Things came out, I was going through a breakup. It's kind of, there's a lot of, like, sadder songs on it, and I was just like, he gets me.
Oh.
At that time, I actually just realized I met John Mayer.
What?
Really?
During the Heavier Things tour.
You got the VIP pass?
Yeah. Well, what happened was I had a girlfriend that I fell in love with in 2003. Like, she was a year older than me, and she graduated high school and went off to college. And we were like, we'll stay together. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
And she was going to UGA, which was an hour drive away. So we were like, yeah, it'll be fine. And we, I think almost immediately she cheated on me in college. And I was like, well, we need to break up. And she was like, well, why? Can't we, what if we just stay together and we have an open relationship? And I was like, okay.
That doesn't sound like much of a choice.
Yeah. And it's also like, I'm in high school. I'm not hooking up with anybody. I'm not like taking, I'm not able
I'll
to take advantage of
yeah.
an open relationship. I'm also so sad and not who's attracted to this. And she's in college, like having a whale of a time. So then in the middle of that, she had, for my birthday, gotten me tickets to the John Mayer concert. And that had happened a couple months. My birthday is in January, and the concert was in November. So, and in October, we broke up, but we were still like, we'll still go to the concert together.
No.
And then she revealed the week of that she had, we were going to meet him, that she had, because I think her mom had some connection, I forget. So we got to go to a meet and greet. So we're there, me and like my girlfriend who sleeps with other people. And John Mayer comes in wearing a velvet blazer.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And he, like, is just, like, really quickly, like, having a 15-second interaction with everybody. And I was like, all right, I need to ask him a question. Or I need
I
to
gotta
make...
stand out!
Yes, I need to impress upon him. Because then, you know, I'll exist as a memory in his head.
And then we can revisit later when we become friends.
Yeah. And so I had my CD for him to sign, and I hand him my CD. And I remember the person before me had said, like, I bet my friend $15 that I could get you to kiss me in a photo on the cheek or whatever. And he's like, you're going to get that money. And, like, gave her a kiss on the cheek. And I had the thought, oh, I'm going to ask him the exact same thing. I was like, I had the same bet. Like, you know, that'll be a funny, cute joke. And he comes to me and I said instead, where did you live in Atlanta when you lived in Atlanta?
Oh, my God.
And he said, Buckhead. And I went, oh, cool, me too. I don't live in Buckhead. I know nothing of Buckhead. And he goes, oh, yeah? What part? And I didn't know there were parts of Buckhead. And so I said,
good one.
I don't know. And you can see on the CD that he signed where his Sharpie stopped mid-signature and the ink pooled as he looked up at me and then just kind of went back to signing it.
I was like, this poor kid.
Yeah.
He just panicked and said anything.
Yeah.
Oh, bro. Okay. Wow. That is a... Thank you for sharing. That is a treasure.
I was terrified that story was going to end with him. Then my girlfriend slept with John Mayer.
And then my... I don't think I didn't worry about that.
You're like, all right, 15 seconds, we're good.
Well, maybe we can unpack some of that trauma today by revisiting the song. Should we get into it?
Let's. I don't love this.
I actually dislike this.
For someone who's very good at guitar, it's a very simple...
It feels like he's like, hey, what if we just did less? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you had to come to us.
Something about it sounds off to me also. I'm just like, is it in tune or what? Why does it feel like you're playing wrong notes of a song you made up?
You know, maybe it's just like the very loud shaker.
It might be the shaker. Yeah.
I don't know what... It's almost like vaguely tropical. Like, maybe it's not true. Maybe it's loungy. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for.
It is very loungy.
It puts you in a mood that is a little unsettling. Like, something's about to happen.
They're about to, like, the cult's about to start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to realize this wasn't, like, an expose at all. That's not the word I'm looking for. And what's it called when people invite you to a hotel? Expo.
Oh, I was like, what?
I was so close.
That's what it's called when people invite you to a hotel.
What are you talking about? Invite you to a hotel?
I didn't say enough, and I simultaneously said too much. I mean, like a hotel event is what I was trying to say. An event at a hotel.
I don't know that that's correct either. I feel like an expo is not typically at a hotel.
I feel like that's like a world's fair.
Okay, maybe I meant a convention.
Yeah, I think you did mean a convention.
You know what? Words
we
are
We knew
hard.
What you meant, though. I mean, now we do.
But this is, to me, like the first day of the convention, like the optional, like meet with everybody before the event starts.
Yeah.
This is the music that plays.
That one loop is elevator music. Before he sings, it's like that's what you hear in a fancy
and
elevator.
And it is weird because, like, as much as I dislike the dude, he's a fucking phenomenal musician.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Why is he not
using that? This is what I would always come back to in the screaming arguments. Is I'd be like, he's so good at guitar.
Oh, he's so good at guitar.
Which I kind of like. I mean, I know so little about music that I only knew that because other people had told me that he was very good at guitar.
Yeah.
I was sort of like, yeah, I don't know how these guitars work, if you're good or bad at them.
Sounds cool,
They're
man.
All very hard to me.
I feel like I did that a lot growing up, just being like, I have staked all of my personality on this one artist, so anyone saying they don't like them, I'm like, that's wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had my Away message on Instant Messenger. Oh. Do you remember Away messages on Instant Messenger? Was a link to an article of some college newspaper somewhere that the headline was, John Mayer is actually very good, or something.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, some argument as to why he was good, which was really just, he's good at guitar.
Yeah.
But it was such an aggressive Away message.
No kidding. Usually it was, like... Don't hate me because you ain't me. You're like, like, oh, John Mayer's actually good. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, don't come at me with your John Mayer bullshit because I'm not here for it.
I thought you were just going to say that it was like a quote of his lyrics, but just like a defensive argument.
Oh, I did
like,
that.
Well, you're
too.
Wrong.
Yeah. I once had a quote. This was during the breakup, during the 7 months of sadness that followed the breakup.
Yeah.
One of my Away message quotes was a quote from John Mayer's Split Screen Sadness. And I remember putting it up there like, yep, good. And then going off and doing the things that when you weren't actually away, but you were just in the
room. You wanted
room.
To seem busy.
And three of my friends, like messages came in from them being like, something like, Jesus Christ, dude, like, get over her. Like, you need to, like.
I'm so surprised you weren't getting laid in high school. That's crazy.
You think that Mayer would have done it all?
No.
Yeah. Those clutch Away messages.
This guy is sad, and he likes sad music.
Yeah, so far not winning any awards, but does it, like, piss me off inherently? No.
Let's just wait
until... Get ready for the next second. I
know a girl. Cool. She puts the color
inside of my world. All right. But she's
just like a maze, where all of the walls are continually changed.
What?
He's telling on himself right from the jump.
I know a girl.
A girl that's like the end of The Shining.
She puts the color inside of my world is just such an oddly specific and simultaneously so vague way of, I think, trying to be like, I like her.
I have right? two problems with that couplet, which is one, just the color inside of my world versus like color in my world. I feel like it's such a weird way to say that.
I'm not even sure I totally understand what he's trying to say with
I
that.
I don't know.
It's his world is hollow and without color.
Yeah.
Is an uncolored in coloring book.
It's like
and then this girl colored it in.
Okay.
So
now he's
he couldn't see color and now he can't.
She provided the funding for those colorblind glasses.
She's also a maze. So she's a maze, a large maze with a crayon.
No wonder he fell in love with her.
It is also the second part of the maze thing is like, so a not really a maze.
Yeah.
Something
like a labyrinth of
a
sorts.
A weird, like a screensaver or something.
Exactly, where the walls just flop down on the screen.
The walls continually change.
So to me, I'm like, that's just not how people work. You know what I mean? Like, find me a psychiatrist that could, like, diagnose somebody as just never, ever being the same. Unless you're truly crazy. It's like, well, no, people have patterns, and whether or not you choose to learn them is kind of on you.
Yes. I love her, but she confuses the hell out of me.
Right, again, like, you're telling on yourself, my dude. Like, you're not sounding great here. You sound kind of dumb, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
She could put the color inside your world, but you're like, but I don't know her at all.
If the walls are continually changing, then I feel it's very weird that he ever went to maze as a metaphor.
I mean, he's reaching.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give him credit that he's, like, only 26, but, like, aren't you 26?
He needed a rhyme for changed. And he's what? And maze is the only thing that could possibly be, right?
Right.
That's what he's rhyming there. Maze and changed.
Yes. My other problem with that first couplet is the girl world rhyme. I feel like it's the laziest thing. I always hate it in song.
You just shouldn't say girl anymore because there's only three rhymes: curl, furl, world, and they've all been done
very
to death.
Not often used. Squirrel,
squirrel, squirrel, and world. That works.
You rarely squirrel see squirrel.
Twirl, whirl.
That's it.
Earl.
Yeah, right.
Earl. Earl and Squirrel. Let's have more of...
We are watching My Name is Earl.
I know an Earl.
Yeah.
So, from the jump, I'm already, like, side-eyeing a bit, but not pissed yet. Not pissed yet.
I can't wait until I see what line
it's
is,
also,
like, sets
he's
you
not
off.
In a relationship with this girl. He knows her.
That's
he
true.
He kept it vague. Yeah.
He's like, I know this lady.
She's friends with Tom.
He's like the kind of guy already I can vibe that, like, he definitely, for all intents and purposes, is in a relationship with this girl. But just to be a dick is like, oh, we don't use labels. And that's kind of a carte blanche to fuck around. But, like, he knows this girl's family. Like, they are fully committed to each other.
Or it could be like, because this was my experience a lot in high school, and I think a lot of people, I mean, you know, every young boy, I feel like, before they figure themselves out a little bit more, you're, like, in love with girls from afar, and you don't know how to, like, what to do with that.
Right.
And so it could be, in my experience, what this would mean for me is it's like, oh, yes, this girl that I never talk to, but I find pretty, I love, and she confuses me because she doesn't love me. And she hasn't come and, like, you know, walked up to me and said, I'd like to date you. I can't figure her out.
This song's about, like, a cashier at an Albertsons that he talks to sometimes. And he's just like, oh, what do I got to do? What do I got to buy to make her love me?
He has a quote on VH1's Storytellers from 2010. Bad year for John Mayer, if you know about it.
Was that the episode he did with Brad Paisley?
Do not know. Did not watch.
I think it was. Wait, what?
You're the expert here.
2010.
Oh, no. Then this would have been a much later one.
So he said he wrote the song about an ex-girlfriend who had trust issues because of her absent father. Let me just give you the quote.
No, those are the walls changing.
I loved a girl a lot. Again, he's not saying if it's
a
girl. Girlfriend.
I loved a girl.
Just use a label, bro. But she couldn't trust men. Well, shocker of the century. And if you trace it back, it was the first man in her life she couldn't trust. I'm just curious, who traced that back? John, you? Did you trace that back? A musician?
And if you trace it back, if you go on 23andMe.
And then he goes on to say, don't worry, guys. I know this song sounds like I'm just sitting around the house, spitballing, thinking of really lofty things to think about.
It doesn't sound
like Because you
like
know
that.
How daddy issues are such lofty ideas.
That's a lofty, pretty basic human kindness is what you're arguing for.
But, wait, hang on. Don't judge him yet. It really is the result. It really is of tracing it backwards to find out how could I possibly love this person? And the answer is, you can't, because someone else didn't before you.
That's not true. That's not how that works, man.
How many things did he just say? Whoa, okay. Maybe we should just keep moving with the song, honestly.
He's about to say it again in lyric form.
He'll tell you what he means, but there's no question this was a girl he was fully dating. I don't know why he doesn't establish that fully.
Was in an on and off again thing with a girl.
I loved a girl, even. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? I know a girl.
I loved
a
girl, yeah.
Keeping it at an arm's length just to seem cool about it.
Oh, that would be nicer, because it'd be like, I loved a girl. It's like, okay, you're being a little...
vulnerable.
Yeah,
something.
I would love to find out that the way he traced this back was like he went to Thanksgiving with her.
He hired
and...
a detective.
Just wait outside the car.
I stalked a girl.
I bet, like, my hunch tells me she goes to therapy and she's working on it. And she once confided in him that, like, they talked about her dad a lot. And he was like, oh, it's his fault. That's where this comes from.
I can make some rhymes out of that. So he goes on to say,
and I've done all I can.
No, you haven't.
To stand on the steps with my heart and my hair.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm starting to see. Maybe it's got nothing to do with me.
How convenient.
I mean, that is... that is wild. To say, because it's like, I feel like he could address that up a little bit more.
Oh, no.
To say out loud, it's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Nick, it's such a lofty idea that he needs to be really clear about what he's saying.
Like,
plebs might not understand.
I feel like from moment one in the song go, let's get one thing straight. She's complex. And I am not at fault
at all. I'm exhausted.
I'm doing a lot of work.
First and foremost, I stood on her steps. Secondly, put my heart in my hand. Didn't work. She's fucked up.
What else can I do?
Is the standing on steps part literal?
I think he's trying to say he's come to her.
Okay. He's done all he could. So he's worked as hard as he could to come to go, I guess, show up at her door and like,
brought her flowers.
I'm here. I like you, or whatever.
Kissed her, let her have sex with him.
Yeah. And now he's starting to see it's got nothing to do with him.
Uh-huh, interesting.
Oh, I get it. It's fuck your dad.
That's so
it's
curious.
Your dad's fault.
I didn't realize he had a fucking PhD in how people work outside of himself, but... based on how preachy he is, it sounds like maybe he does.
He does say maybe it's got nothing to do with me, which is the only thing I'll give him in that sentence.
You know what? Actually, he's awesome.
he's good now.
I almost like don't even want to comment on it because like he's saying it all himself. You don't need to point out how fucked up this is. He's clearly doing a great job of that.
Yeah.
Fathers be good to your daughters. Daughters will love. Like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers be good to your daughters too.
Okay.
This is
like,
unrelated, but this microphone smells like my Uncle Michael. I got
Mike.
Real whiff of it, and it is, I flashed back to, I think he sat on this microphone. Anyhow.
Anything to just get us from having to
he
discuss
might have been
this
on
fucking shit
AFE
show.
AFE this week, I don't know. Fathers be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers, so mothers be good to your daughters, too.
Girls become lovers who turn into mothers is a real, in 2018 especially,
what a line.
Real crazy quote out of context.
I Googled it thinking that this has been talked about to death, right? Like, that there already exists the inverted version of this song about, like, sons being good from their moms or whatever. I saw, like, three articles.
I feel like... there are so many songs from this time period and from before that touch upon the same thing that everyone's just kind of like, yeah, what are we breaking new ground by saying songs in the past were bad?
Did they win Grammys for being the best song of that year?
Legitimately, yes, many did.
The interesting thing about this song is I was almost even surprised to see it on your guys' list because I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm currently ambivalent, but was a massive John Mayer fan and did not like the song. And this was a song that when I would talk to people and scream and defend, people would say like, well, I do like Daughters.
What?
Ooh. Like, in my experience, I found that more people are like, oh no, I like that. That's sweet. And like that, a lot of girls I knew at the time, what was it, 2003, were like, oh, it makes me cry. I love it so much.
How many people have used this as the father-daughter dance song at weddings?
Oh, Jesus. No.
Truly that breaks my fucking heart.
I think it's one of those songs that like, when you don't examine it too closely, or even if you do, and it's like a time like 2003 where you just kind of take it at surface level, you're like, well, yeah, the message is not awful.
Dude, I was fucking 14 when this came out, and I heard it once and was like, fuck this guy. 14.
I don't think everyone was as woke as a 14.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I don't like being pigeonholed as either a lover or a mother.
Yeah.
Suck my dick, dude. I mean, we had I'm a Bitch. Like, that came out, what, like 10 years
that
earlier?
That song rules.
Yeah. Right? Like, there it is, a song, a hit song, spelling out for you all the things a woman can be.
But she did say mother and lover.
Yeah, well, because they rhyme.
He was like, oh, I'll take those two and leave the rest.
Yeah, because that's how they relate to him. I have a mother and I fuck a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Another little tangent.
Please.
You said this about father-daughter dances at weddings. If you want just to have a great time on YouTube, I want you to YouTube brides who sing themselves down their aisle.
No!
That's a thing! Such
a wonderful thing. Because it's like, the song begins, the bride steps out in her wedding dress. You're like, yes, this looks like a normal wedding, but it's like a pop song. And then she starts to sing, and you go, the reaction that you have is a full body thing of, oh, what?
No!
Oh my God, yes?
Do they hide the microphone in the bouquet, or is it like an over the ear piece?
I hope it's a Britney head
they
mic.
They definitely hide it in the bouquet. Very astute.
Brilliant.
Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just are holding a mic.
Follow-up question. Is it like, it's like I waited my whole life? Like, what song are they fucking singing usually?
Oh my God. There's also some where, like, the groom sings. It's like lots of, like, when I look in your eyes, like, lovey.
Upbeat or down-tempo?
Kind of right in the, like, ballads. It's lots of ballads.
We gotta,
but it's all over. You could find any, I wouldn't be surprised if we could find, could you look and see if someone sung Daughters?
No.
That'd be a crazy choice, but I wouldn't put it past these crazy brides.
These wacky brides.
These women who turn into lovers and then mothers.
I mean, some women subscribe to that, and, like, they're allowed to. That's one of the tenets of feminism. You can do whatever the fuck you want. I just wish a man wouldn't fucking sing to me about what I can and can't do.
But so we do have Miel here on record saying that she doesn't think fathers should be good to their daughters.
I think it doesn't really.
Because coming out against this, that's what you're saying.
Look, fathers, treat your daughters however you want.
I know plenty a independent, beautiful woman, and I mean beautiful emotionally. It doesn't really matter what you fucking look like.
She's hot.
It didn't have
in
a dad.
Brains.
It didn't right. have a fucking dad. It doesn't. It's not
or
a
whose
direct
dad
correlation.
Was, it's wild to say if your father wasn't good to you, you can't
are not
be
good.
Loved.
Yeah. In the most generous reading of this chorus, I will say that it's him saying, like, fathers, just respect your daughters. But again, that is, he's saying, like,
in 2003, that was revolutionary.
I think that's why it worked in 2003. It's because he's just being like, you know what? I think that as a man, I should be telling these other dudes, you gotta love your kid.
Yeah.
And it's really not that.
I think if this song went on to inspire a father to, you know what, I will be good to my daughter, then I think it was worthwhile.
Because I wasn't gonna until John Mayer told me to.
The week this dropped, a bunch of fathers came home with the milk they promised, and they were good to their kids.
If anything, this song should be fathers, be good to your sons and teach them how to treat women.
Or like teachers in high school tell boys kind of how that women are people.
I feel like for me, the concept of daddy issues was like already tired by 2003.
So
it's not
played out.
Revolutionary by any means. But what is especially insufferable to me about this arrangement is that it's slow and like trying to be croony and loungy. Because if this was like a punk rock song, I'd be more forgiving. It's like, yeah, we all said dumb shit back then. But to be like, fathers be good to you.
It is a bummer that it doesn't even slap.
No.
Like, it's not a good...
It doesn't even slap.
It doesn't.
The way he goes, daughters will love like you do. That's not how you would say that. Like you do. Yeah. Like you do.
So that's my question of that line. Is he saying daughters will love like you do, as in like
teach
the fathers
your daughters
do?
To yes. fuck right.
Yes.
Or is he saying like daughters will love, you know, like you do?
No,
like,
I think he's saying like the fathers do.
Like you do. That's crazy. If
that's,
it was
that was my reading.
That's crazy. They'll love like you do. You know, like
does.
People love. Who knows? Anyhow, on to mothers.
Also, this like inherently, I mean, I'm getting some like women are always straight vibes from this too. Because like the way you love a man is not necessarily how you love a woman.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I mean... It doesn't explicitly say. It is from the perspective of him talking about his own relationship, but I don't...
I will say, I think fathers should be good to their daughters, and I don't have a problem with him saying that. I think when he gets into women or lovers, I'm like, okay, I get that you have only a certain number of syllables that you can have here, and maybe you can't express that complex an idea, but...
Generally,
Rocky.
The concept I stand behind, it's the 26-year-old boy... telling 50-year-old men how to treat their kids.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, who the fuck are you, dude?
It is hilarious that he's like, I've just heard of this.
You guys, I just heard of daddy issues. Have you guys heard about this? Let me write a song. Yeah, we'll win some Grammys.
There's a no worse progression of a sentence than girls become lovers. I'm like, I don't want to see where this is going.
Also, that he says girls.
And then when they are mothers, they are no longer lovers.
No longer.
Yeah.
Moms don't fuck. That pussy sews itself shut.
Then it's dead, but it's still. But at that point, then you got to be good to the next generation.
You know how your vagina flies away to hell after you have kids?
Once you have sex and a baby comes out, it's like, well, I did it.
Your vagina's like, bye. It was so nice knowing you.
Well, now you're a mother.
It's like the photograph in Back to the Future 3. It just disappears. You never had it.
I just don't know why you couldn't have said women.
Because
or they. Like, why girls? That sounds like a child.
What's the line?
Girls become lovers.
But women become lovers.
Or they become
chicks
lovers.
Become lovers.
Fuck off.
Babes become lovers.
Babes.
Only the hot ones. So mothers. And then that last line. So mothers be good to your daughters too. What? That doesn't even make sense with what he's trying to say.
It's a hilarious thing to tack on to the end. And also, I guess, moms be good to your daughters, too.
I think he thought he was being woke by being like, I'm going to include women in this.
Yeah.
Like, you did the exact opposite, dude.
These people ever listen to these podcasts?
I don't think so.
I will say.
It hasn't happened yet?
Well.
Because I think I wouldn't be surprised if John Mayer... listens to
here's
this.
The thing.
He must know it's bad.
John Mayer does follow me on Twitter.
You're screwed. I'm okay. And I've said before.
What is he going to do to me?
I love you, John.
I'm okay to be an enemy of John Mayer because I think if he knows what's good for him, he can take some criticism.
Look, John, I told you up front. I never heard any of your music, man.
I will say Ed from the Bare Naked Ladies does listen. He sent us a follow-up email the other day.
Did you do Bare Naked Ladies?
We did one week, a song we both love, so it wasn't like we burned it to the ground.
Another issue I have with your podcast is you guys have roasted some of my faves.
Well, come on.
And again, it goes back to me loving something and then hearing, oh no, we don't all love this.
this is
people make fun of this?
A lot of people will write in and be like, "What? How could you possibly, like, what are you going to do when you tackle this song?" And it's like, we don't know. Sometimes we talk about how much we love a song.
Yeah,
it's not always
to burn them to the ground. But I do want to say thank you to Ed because he sent us that deer running through the playhouse.
A lot of people sent us that, which is great.
But Ed went to the effort to email it to us.
Sure.
What did he send you?
A link to the deer running through the playhouse to the beat of the drum drop in the air tonight. You didn't see this video?
No.
It's a very good video. Here, we'll take an ad break and I will show you the video. We'll be right back. And we're back.
What'd you think of the video?
Great. I will always like that. I will always love a, you know, you're expecting this sound and then here's a different sound.
It's great.
It's a great meme. I can't complain about getting it a lot because I watch it every time.
And wait, why did you guys get it?
Because we covered it in the air tonight.
Oh, you did in the air. Okay,
yeah. I'm obsessed with that drum drop. So should we move on to the next verse?
I mean, I guess we got it. Yeah. Love you, John. What I was going to say about this line, though, is I do love that girls become lovers who turn into mothers. Almost feels like it's his reasoning. It's like, hey, fathers, you got to be nice. Because they become lovers.
For us.
Yeah.
And then those turn into mothers.
I can't fuck them if you fucked them up, dude.
What are you going to do?
They yell at me if you're less than perfect
they
to them.
They cry all the time, and that's because of their dads and not because they're people and have 100 emotions.
I will never get through this maze if you don't fucking love them.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, here's this interlude.
This tasty lick.
I don't think the shaker is loud enough.
Is this Folgers coffee music?
That is something I think he's doing with this song that he definitely does a lot, but mostly in this song, which is really leaning into, like, his ghost voice or whatever, his sensitive...
It does feel like he is like hovering around the mic and he just woke up.
Oh god, I just leaned in and got a big whiff of Uncle Michael.
I'm sorry. It's the ghost of Headgum Studios. They stink up all these mics.
I feel like he's my uncle's in here.
He might be.
Is he dead?
No.
Okay, then no, he's probably not.
Have you checked on him lately?
I don't know. Maybe he's just died. Maybe this is how I found out that he's
dead.
Hey,
I'm just floating through to tell you I'm
this
dead.
This is my superpower, is I smell the person as they in my family as they die.
Now that's a sitcom.
Yeah,
or
right,
a drama.
Yeah, or a Marvel movie.
It was a very strong choice to make this song so fucking slow.
Yeah.
And release it as a single. Mm-hmm. I just feel like you don't even have to go double time, just like 30% faster.
If you look at heavier things, it is not an album with singles. Like it's this and Bigger Than My Body, and they're very different songs and
polar opposites.
All of the songs on this album that I like I sometimes will like the worst part of a franchise. Like,
oh no. Like, the Minions are what you took away from Despicable Me.
I love Thor 2.
I truly love Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions.
All right.
And I understand all of the flaws with them, and I still love them.
Okay.
But again, screaming arguments in high school.
That's me with all of the Fast and Furious movies.
But everyone loves the Fast and Furious.
Those are, I love with, you know, I understand.
No one's going to fight you about that.
Right.
I will fist fight you over Matrix Reloaded.
I loved Avengers Age of Ultron. It's my favorite one of the Marvel movies.
That's interesting.
Nobody agrees with me.
No.
Joss Whedon doesn't agree with me.
Yeah.
That's the thing about music. Yeah. Like, it can mean something to us and we can shit on it, but if it means something to you, like, no amount of us shitting on it should be able to take that away.
Unless it's a bad song, in which case, listen
to us. And
that's
what I slowly came to realize in college, where it's like, I don't need to convince everyone to like...
No. You can like your
John
own face.
Mayer, and I should stop because I'll enjoy parties more.
Yeah, it's like, I like onion bagels with strawberry cream cheese. I don't care if you think that's gross.
Whoa.
This is the first time I'm hearing about that. I do not like that at
They're
all.
Good.
You, wait, hold up.
Flavor profile, does
They're
that
good.
Create?
You came after
They're
me
good.
On air because I eat tortilla chips with pesto sometimes.
My issue is not the flavor. My issue is that that's not what pesto is for.
I don't give a shit. You're eating onion bagels with strawberry. Yeah. You're eating an entire orchard of different flavors.
Yeah.
Your pants just covered with pesto stains?
No.
Because that chip is not keeping pesto on it.
It is the way I eat it. I'm not
lying. It's like Grease Valley. Like, what the fuck?
Who gives a fuck?
All of them just dripping down your chin.
How do you think how do you both think I eat?
You gotta stand up for yourself, but
I
don't
gotta.
Let bully you.
Fathers, be good to me. Oh, right, yeah.
That was, we just did like 10 minutes on,
I know.
Well, it was mostly.
We are keyed up.
It was 3 minutes on, and then a lot of, we eat weird.
John Mayer inspires this conversation.
And
thanks,
he does.
Man. Thank him for that.
This sounds like music that belongs in like a coffee commercial.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're fucking sisters in those commercials.
Or
it
like
involves it.
A movie. I feel like this song would be on the soundtrack of like one of those like New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day movies.
Oh,
I
with
feel
like 50 A-listers?
Like Father's Day. This song will be on the soundtrack for sure.
Daughter's
when
Day.
When they do... the Father's Day, the inevitable terrible Father's Day.
What, it's a bunch of sad dads that like didn't get a big of a holiday.
Sad dad vignettes.
Although I think they stopped doing those because Gary Marshall died, right?
Oh, they're still finding ways. Dog Days, they did a, is essentially a version of that.
Oh, I was like, is that the same?
I don't think it's franchised, but it's...
the idea is still.
Yeah, my very good friend John Bass was in Dog Days.
John Bass.
And I found it actually delightful. I honestly, Dog Days is not terrible.
I've heard multiple good things about
Dog
Days.
And Ken Marino directed it, so it's got like some delightful jokes in it.
And like Tig Notaro's
in it, like,
right?
Very, yes, yeah. She's really good. It's very sweet, and it's
you
very
got me a
overly
dog.
Sweet. But
you
yeah.
lost me at Days. I'm a nightmare.
You see that skin?
What?
Whoa.
It's the same she's been standing in since the day she saw him walking away. Now she's left cleaning up the mess he made.
I don't like
the way. I feel like I could talk for an hour and a half on See That Skin.
Yeah.
See That Skin.
You know,
cut it off, make a nice jacket.
Exactly.
See That Skin.
Like, he's now saying, so potentially he's found a father. Because he's laying this out for fathers.
He's talking to dads.
He's talking to dads. He's got one under his arm. Yeah. So 26-year-old John Mayer has a 55-year-old. And he goes, you see that skin?
She's asleep.
That's the same skin she's been wearing since her dad
standing
left
in.
Her. Oh,
she's
weird.
Been, as if she's just like a muscle person who like walks up to her skin every morning and stands in it.
This is
she hasn't changed her skin once, and that means
which is biologically
something?
Not true. That
very
is all
true.
New skin, mm-hmm. buddy.
Yeah, that's the wall. Those are the walls continually changing.
Yeah, your cells.
Is that what he's talking about?
Definitely not.
That's why he had to say, guys, it's not a lofty idea. This just really happened to me. This woman's skin changed.
Every 11 years, you're atomically a different person.
You know what? Like, you could have vitiligo. There's so many reasons why that's just scientifically not true.
It's a song about lizards.
Yeah.
Again, not true.
Lizards will love like you do.
Also true, though. Lizards, great pets. Don't have pets, but if you have to, lizards.
Are they?
Don't have pets.
I had a lizard growing up, Lizzie.
Oh, I thought you meant don't have pets in general. I was like, you have a
You shouldn't
a dog.
Have any pets other than dogs. I believe that to be true.
I
Except
won't.
For lizards.
No, I'm saying don't have lizards, but if you have to have one, have a lizard.
What scenario well, do you wait, have to wait, have a lizard in? Wait.
You found it. It was rehomed. Somebody
so you're
threw
recommending
it away.
Lizards for people if they already, if they have been painted into a lizard corner.
Yes.
If you've been tricked
what
by
a strange
man who,
PSA.
If you have to get a lizard, don't be worried about it. They're good.
If someone's on the street is like, here, hold this lizard for a second and then
runs
away.
Yeah, and they can't be reintroduced into the wild. You know,
sure.
Keep it. It'll be a fruitful relationship for you.
Okay. I feel like that is not true.
You came to talk about daughters and you learned about lizards.
Yeah.
You never had a lizard?
I've never had a lizard, but I just can't imagine like feeling the warmth and
no,
whatever
they're
you
cold.
Get for yeah, yeah, right?
They're reptiles. They're
by, yeah, by definition.
They're good pets. I'm just
I feel
saying.
Like it's like being in a relationship with someone whose father didn't treat him well. Like they can't be loved.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
So now since the day she saw him walking away. Okay, mm-hmm. Can you be a little bit less dramatic? Because I've never heard of that actually happening other than in like a Lifetime After School special.
The freaking Blue Valentine.
Yeah. Like, fucking
like
I, Tonya.
I just feel like that happens so much more in movies than I've ever heard of it happening in real life where they physically see them walk away.
Like,
isn't
feel
it so much
like
more common that they would leave at night?
I feel like it happens sometimes. Like if it's a divorce thing and they're just like, well, I'm leaving the family, then you probably see them.
I think probably there is an actual goodbye that happens a lot of the time.
Oh, I thought we were talking about like dads that like skip town.
Well, yeah.
Well,
skip
even
town.
Still, it's like, you know, I mean, this is a movie and not real life, so I don't know that it's a... But in Angels in the Outfield... You know, he's like, hey, I gotta go take my bike and do something, and I gave you to the courts. Like, you see him walk away a bunch.
And Angels in the Outfield is actually a documentary, so that is true.
Yes, and that's, and so I've proved my point.
Fair enough. I stand corrected. But now, you know what? Now she's left cleaning up the mess he made.
I don't like the way he sings any of this.
I'm having a great time picturing him now with a 55-year-old man, with a room full of 55-year-olds sat cross-legged on the floor.
Thank you for coming to my seminar. Let me teach you how to treat your daughter.
They're behind like some double-paneled glass.
I'm curious why, too, he chose to sing this, like, so, I don't know, it's not an accent, it's just, like, that's not the way he sounds.
The rhythm of the way he sings this is so weird. It feels like he's trying to shove the phrasing into this part.
She's
and
left.
Another thing that's, I wonder if anyone thought this song was so lame that they were like, I'm not going to be good to my daughter now. Now I don't want to be.
How many dads came out hating John Mayer after
the other thing
preached to?
That's so interesting about this is this song is clearly for girls. It's
right.
Clearly marketed
it's him
towards
trying to get
young
laid.
Girls.
This is John Mayer being like, yo, every girl is going to want to fuck me after hearing me be sympathetic to their daddy issues.
It works.
It's the thing that happens online that there's a really fine line between, which is like the guys who are like being an ally to try to get laid.
I have met a few of those.
The conspicuous like, consumption.
And it's an interesting thing to criticize, I think, because it's like you don't want to like
scare
people away from being allies, but there is like a creepy part of it.
There's a point at which you realize that it becomes so much about putting themselves in front of it more than spreading a message that you're like,
wanting
oh, okay, well.
Wanting to be seen as a hero.
The good ones.
I feel a little bit that way. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's a great dude, but like the content he posts, that Matt McGorry dude.
Oh, no. Famously, for a while, it was like, oh, you're posting a shirtless picture of yourself with,
what
the,
is
with
that?
The caption.
The spectacular photo of him holding the new Jim Crow book.
Yes.
Like posing, doing a selfie with it.
He hasn't done it in a while, but it was
that is a very, I remember seeing that and being like, well, yeah, I don't know what to say about this.
Anyone that knows less than us about these things might be like convinced to read up on it because of that.
Right.
So I don't want to be like, hey dude, like stop, but at the same
time I do think it helps more than it hurts, even if it's like coming from a weird place.
I a little bit think so, but I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I just hope their fathers were good to them. Otherwise, get out.
Nick, thank you so much for keeping us on task. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, yeah. We could have gone off on a different tangent.
Well, that's why they call me the task.
The Task. Is that your Marvel superhero?
I was
smell
like, I should
death?
Say Taskmaster, right? No, I'll go with the much better the Task. Task.
That sounds like a show that like is on CW.
Yeah, that's the superhero. Yes, this is the superhero who smells his relatives dying.
The Task.
Far as you can break, you find out how much they can take. The boys soldier on. The boys would be gone without one for a woman's good heart.
Second to most problematic part of the song have the most like twinkly little guitars in it.
It feels like. Why do I keep having problems with the rhythm that he sings? It feels like he is not really listening to the music and just kind of going like, boys, boys, a woman. It's like,
it sounds like a jam.
Yes, it sounds exactly like a jam, which makes
like
sense that he's touring with the Grateful Dead now.
Does what? He and Travis Scott, does he...
What a lineup.
Or he was on SNL the other week playing background for Travis Scott.
What?
And so Frank Ocean. He's very good at guitar.
No one can take that away from him.
Does he say boys don't do wrong?
Let's go through this line by line.
Boys are always good.
Because it's like, if he does, that's an insane reversal at this point. Actually, they're great.
So the entire part of this is boys you can break.
I think we need to go line by line, dude.
I just want to say it so people know what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boys you can break. You find out how much they can take. Boys will be strong and boys soldier on. But boys would be gone without the warmth from a woman's good, good heart.
Yeah, the good, good, the way the good, good heart is said.
I'm more, woman. Okay, boys you can break. No, you can't. What? Yeah,
Do you guys
feel like you could have been broken as children and it would have been not an issue?
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Boys,
I thought he was saying
break.
you are capable of breaking things.
No, he's saying, yeah, don't worry about the boys, because you know what? Boys you can break, you'll find out how much they can take. You can be shitty to your sons.
Oh.
You can just treat them like fucking garbage.
Boys, you... Oh, my God. So I never thought of it that way. That song is crazy.
That's the only way I can think of it.
That's a fantastic. It's like, fathers, you have to be good to your daughters. Also, mothers, be good to your daughters.
But boys now.
Frickin' run your son into the ground.
It's like, A,
throw him in the trash.
So cruel to little boys out there. I have a whole Vatican scandal to inform you of that proves the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Also, how do you expect any man to become a good father when he had a shitty fucking childhood?
I gotta tell you, this turns this whole song around for me. I love that the end of this song is, man, fuck boys, fuck them up. Who cares?
It feels like
he was building a machine. It's like, all right, I've got this entire circuit connected. And he's like, why is it not working? This entire other half, boys, are not, like, they're just fucking up the cycle of men. Why are they not being good to other people?
Because once you become a father, hear me out. Mm-hmm. You just purge all of your traumas and become the best man in the world.
Right. Well, that's what puberty is.
Which is such a pro toxic masculinity stance. I cannot believe that he thought this was a good idea.
We'll find out how much they can take.
Because you know why? Boys will soldier on. Because you know why? Boys are soldiers.
Boys
fight.
On.
They're warriors. Women, delicate, need to be treated well.
I feel like he's doing something that a lot of men do, where it's like, in order to support the idea of women being strong, they'll just be like, well, boys, you don't have to, you know, they fucking ignore them. It's like, well, no, teach them to also be good to all people as well.
Yeah. Love the shit out of your sons. I've heard so many stats about how boys don't get hugged by their fathers after the age of like 4 or something, and how that contributes so greatly to like issues that men have,
that they
don't have physical affection as children. So if anything, there's so much science saying, absolutely, be so sensitive to your little tiny boys, and you'll have sensitive little sons.
It's almost like somebody told him, maybe, like, John, this song isn't the most woke. And he was like, well, it's like, it's maybe a slightly misogynistic view or something. And he's like, okay, well, to combat that, I will say, kill men. Good? Did I fix it?
It's like, the single's going out in a day. Yeah. Whatever, man.
That's gotta be it. Otherwise, like, does he just think this is true? If he has kids, Jesus, I'm so worried about them.
I want to be generous and say there's no way he feels the same way about this song 15 years on.
He must not, right?
No.
I would even say maybe not even at the time. He might have needed a rhyme.
God,
I think
hope
that's something like with song lyrics is like when you pick any of them apart, I don't know. There's such crazy things said in such wonderful songs.
Yeah.
Right. But I feel like so many more artists don't get to make a song like this and not apologize for it later. And as far as I know, he has never apologized for this song. Mm. I don't even think he's ever talked about it.
I don't know what...
Yeah.
Does he still perform it at shows? Like, Hayley Williams can't play fucking Misery Business anymore and he's still singing this bullshit?
I don't know if he is.
I don't know either. I hope he's not. John, if you're listening, follow me on Twitter too. I feel very left out, but also fucking get your shit together.
Oh, well, actually, because he's touring with the Grateful Dead, so I don't think he's playing any of his...
Is he still?
No, because he just dropped a new... Oh, he is still playing the song.
Yeah, he still plays it? I just feel like, really, dude? You haven't woken up to how fucked up
this is? There hasn't been any outcry or anything, right?
Which is insane to me, because people will pick up on, like, one swear word.
He's probably heard... I mean, I feel like probably his experience of the song is people have been like, you inspired me to be a good dad. Like, and, like, girls being like, I love it. My dad was not good, and you said he should have been, and I liked that.
Okay, here's the thing. Demi, did you grab that video I sent you?
I sure did.
Okay, so this is a little long, and I was debating if we'd incorporate it. But, like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt here. But at that same 2010 Storytellers thing, he, like, riffed out, like, a future version of this song. Like, he was trying to write to, like, what if in 20 years this song is so effective that, like, girls don't have issues anymore. And it's so telling. This is 7 years after the song was written, and this is still how he feels. It's crazy.
20 years later, singing my follow-up song to Daughters. Thank you very much. You took heed when I really needed to tell you my story. You changed up your ways for so long. Now we got a new generation of beautiful women who's well adjusted, and she ain't gonna cry at the drop of a hat. How about that?
Oh boy.
Oh, thank you, fathers, for fixing our girls.
Oh my God.
The world. They read books, Don't give dirty looks and they're good to me all night. Oh, thank you, daddies, for making. She ain't gonna grow up to live with 20 cats. Yeah, 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 yeah. You took my advice and you treated her nice, and now we get along so well. Oh, cause for so long there I equated love with hell. Oh, yeah, yeah, thank you, Mom and Dad, for being so good to your hot daughters. Cause now we gonna make some hot boys and girls of our own.
This sounds...
Has anybody ever written a sonic storyteller?
I think that's it.
Honestly, that feels like a defense of himself. Like, it feels like a satire.
Yeah.
I think he's not being satirical, but I do think he's improvising and being light. I do genuinely think that that is coming from a real place in some way.
It's hard to tell, because I think certainly aspects of it, he's joking.
Right, the cats thing, clearly.
Yeah.
But, like, even saying, like, thank you for fixing our daughters, like, now we're going to make some hot kids of our own, that seems like he's... completely joking.
I would love to have it be no, that, it, that he is that there's self-awareness there.
God,
I would hope that.
I hope it's. I feel like it's too hard to say, but based on the fact that daughters is clearly not a joke. I mean, it literally won Grammys. I'm less convinced that's a joke. I think he might just have such problematic views on women that it sounds like a joke.
I would be very curious to hear what he. Says about daughters.
John,
now.
Come on the show.
That's what I'm saying. Because
it is so.
It.
I mean, yeah, that is 15 years ago. Like it would be like, yeah, it'd be cool.
He just needs to say something. I would love if he said.
You
something.
Know what it kind of reminds me of is, have you ever heard that? This is a song. I mean, I don't know. This would be too easy for you guys to do, but the Brad Paisley LL Cool J song.
Oh, oh yes. Accidental Racist.
Yes,
hell
before.
Yeah.
Debbie loves that
it's
song.
It's a song I where I am like, I listen to it and I'm like, oh, this is like, there's so many issues with this, but it is so sweet. Like, look at them trying to fix racism.
I admire them trying to bridge the divide. I hate that this is the topic they settled on. Just like, hey, look, everyone's racist by accident. It's like,
no.
What is it? We can forget the, if you forget my gold chains, I'll forget the chains of slavery or something.
Yes, yep. If you don't judge my gold chains, I'll forget the iron chains. No.
Which is a crazy trade.
No. That's the worst trade
Why
of all.
Why are you judging gold chains?
Yeah, ignore my jewelry that I'm proud of, and I'll forgive you for slavery.
So long as that, I'm so sorry you have a problem with me marrying jewelry, but if you get past it, I forgive you for slavery.
Oh, I'm now reading the lyrics of Accidental Racist in full. The relationship between the Mason Dixon needs some fixin' is an incredible line. We will do this later.
Oh,
so the last line I want to address in this section before we move on is, but boys would be gone without warmth from a woman's good heart. That's a euphemism for fucking? No.
No, I think it's just...
Boys would be nothing without...
So women. Without so now, it's, women. Now on top of needing to be never crying, that's a state of being, of course.
Yeah.
We're supposed to fix boys?
It's a real shotgun blast of a lot of things happening
all
at once.
Wait till the next line.
Because it's fathers and mothers be good to your daughters.
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares about boys? They can do whatever.
Fuck 'em.
Also, boys need women to survive. And look at that sweet, sweet skin.
Fathers, be good to your daughters because girls become lovers and then turn into mothers. And then those mothers make boys. And, I mean, you need to be good to your daughters so that they can be good to our boys.
It is sort of like it's like the interviewer didn't ask the next question and the person just kept word vomiting out things. And boys... are good and but be bad to boys, but also be good to them because they need women. And fathers, be good again. I will come back to that. And mothers also too.
But don't worry, it wasn't a lofty idea. It's coming from experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
it back.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Yeah. Right.
Well. On behalf of every man makes me very nervous.
please don't speak for me.
Wait, what? What? What are you about to say?
Every man looking out for every girl. You are the god and the weight of her world.
Oh, that's interesting. I always heard it as you are the god in the weight And I was like,
did that change it?
No, it didn't change. I just sort of was confused. I was like, oh. Because I'm like, and the weight of her world, I don't understand, really.
Yeah, I don't
know. The weight of
really
her world.
Really trying to let you know that men are at the center of every woman's universe. Mm-hmm. They are the gods. Women worship men. And that's why you have such a responsibility to be good to your daughters. Not to your girlfriends, to your daughters. John's going to write a whole song about how his girlfriend has daddy issues, presumably without fucking asking her. And then he'll make all the money, but he gets to seem like a fucking hero because he's talking to the other bros. Bros, you know how it goes. We all look out for every woman.
I feel like it's like he must have, in this 15 years, dated a woman who had a good father and was like, why is she still screaming at me?
What, her father's screaming at me too? You guys get along?
It's also so crazy, like, the level of pretentiousness to think that it's your place to say this shit.
It's kind of like the thing also of, like, it's like in the pop star when Andy Samberg releases the song in support of, like, gay marriage.
Yeah.
And it's, like, 5 years after it's been legalized. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, what a controversial stance. You guys have nothing to say about this fucking verse?
I don't. It just feels like a retread of the. It's like a summary of the entire songs. I'm just kind of like, yeah, of course you say
You're a father. You're important to your daughter. Yeah?
Well, no, he didn't say fathers. He said every man.
On behalf of every man.
Looking out for every girl.
So what he's saying, on behalf of every man, looking out for every girl. He's like, on behalf of all fathers. It's weird because he's
say
saying,
fathers.
On behalf, well.
On behalf of every man, he's talking to fathers.
Men who are looking after girls?
I think, yeah, on behalf of every man, looking out for every girl.
Oh, is he saying, on behalf of every man, then, comma, like, is he looking out for every girl? Is that a reference to the men that he is speaking on behalf of?
I think he's saying, on behalf of every man that is looking out for every girl.
Yeah, but that's so ambiguous that
well,
that could
then
be interpreted
that is,
as, like,
that does feel like he's saying on behalf of fathers. But then he's also saying, he's like, on behalf of fathers, it's like him talking to a room of dads and saying, on behalf of you, this. And it's like, you're speaking for us to us?
I think my reading of this is he's saying, on behalf of the men who look out for your girls, you have to know that you're important to them. So he's, like, talking to the fathers but saying, like, you're not the men looking out for the girls.
I don't know, you know, specifically if this – I feel like the spirit of what he's saying is fathers be good to your daughters.
Yes.
I just – my understanding is that this is vague enough, ambiguous enough. He has already talked about a relationship. He's already talked about sons. I'm not reading it as that clear cut of, like, this is only for the dads. To me, it's every man looking out for every girl. – I don't know who he feels has to look out for girls, but based on the rest of the song, probably he thinks every dude does. Girls are weak. Yeah. They need to be protected by us soldier boys.
It would maybe be nice if he was like, on behalf of every man, I am sorry for the sins of men.
And for hurting all of your daughters.
Yeah, and for what my part of.
It's so patriarchal. I can't stand it.
The craziest thing is that for me is early on being like, it's got nothing to do with me.
That is how, like, he starts.
Why? If you didn't have that, I'd be like, well.
Well-meaning, misguided.
You know, sure. But it's like you're singing a song that absolves you of.
What a convenient stance to take.
Yeah.
None of this is my fault. It's these other guys. I'm sorry, but calling any man a god in a woman's world, like, you have to see how that looks.
I will say that if he's talking to fathers, I get it only because every greeting card positions fathers as that to, like, their daughters.
Yeah, because we live in a patriarchy.
Well,
that's
no,
not
I know.
How it
I would
be.
Say, I would say that in my personal belief, I think that, like, have you guys ever read East of Eden?
No.
Yeah.
So the thing that Steinbeck has about parents, like, I would say, like, your parents, both mother and father, are your gods as a child. And then he has that amazing passage about when you realize they're not gods and you realize they're humans, it's when the gods
fall, they
don't fall, like, calmly and peacefully. It's a traumatic event for some people, it's way more traumatic how that's happening than others, but it happens to us all.
It happens to everybody.
And I think that there's some, like, so, like, in that's, yeah, I think saying that just fathers,
it's
just men, is not.
It's fucked.
But, you know, he also does tack on mothers are also gods and be good
too. No, mothers you gotta be good too. Anyway.
I wish the end of every stanza was just mothers too and then going right into
also,
the next part.
And also just squeezing it in really
and
quick.
Also
and also,
And then what, the last chorus?
Last chorus is pretty much the same, except for a repeating part at the end. Girls
become lovers. Oh, background vocals. So mothers be good to your daughters too. So mothers be good to your daughters too. So mothers be good to your daughters too.
I especially like that part because it officially makes more times that he says mothers be good to your daughters than he has ever said fathers be good to your daughters.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's where it throws it off.
It does feel like what he should have done, how he should have ended this song, is with an applause track. Like,
yeah.
With applause, like,
thank you.
The sound of the world
the man being
applauding
like,
all
right, bro, thanks for that advice.
Very
we
good.
Will.
I'm going to write her a birthday card this year. Send her $5. Boy, I feel like musically this song could have been fine if it was faster, if he sang with a little bit less of like a I sound great attitude.
Yeah, I was trying to see if there was like a dance remix because I feel like even if it was just quicker, I'm like, would I like it more?
Maybe if he like flexed his guitar more than just that one little section and if like
some
there was
on
more
it.
Instruments in this. There's like four tracks. I hear a shaker, like two guitars, and at the very end they add background vocals.
Feels like a Dave Matthews like throwaway.
Yeah, I'm remembering when I first got this album and I was like, oh boy, I identify as the guy that loves John Mayer, so I had already decided to love it.
Yeah.
And then I listened to it and I didn't like a lot of the songs, but I did like this the first time I heard it.
Mm.
And then didn't after that. And there was like, I don't know what it was. It was just like there was like some maybe catchiness to it that like instantly wore off for me. But I don't know. Yeah.
How does your feelings change now having listened to the whole thing critically?
I'm a little embarrassed. I mean, I think I started realizing, I would say about 10 years ago, like, oh, I don't know that the John Mayer Hill is the one I want to die on.
There's so many other hills.
How could you possibly have fixed this song? I mean, I know many way you can could have, but how did you?
Okay. Here's what I'll say. I did not.
Oh, boy.
I did not fix this song.
Oh, great.
What I did was just provide a more appropriate venue for what he's saying.
Okay.
I hope this is just 3 minutes of you doing one prolonged scream.
I thought about it, but I settled on like the next closest thing.
Okay.
Let's see what you did.
Hey, what is up, you guys? It is Jay Mayer, the Pussy Slayer, and welcome back to my channel. Today, we're talking about how to stop feminism. Let me tell you a little story. So, I know a girl. Let's just, let's say she puts the color inside my world. You feel me?
Still a weird phrasing.
She's like a fucking maze, right? But one where all the walls just continually change. Now, I have done all that I can. I have stood on her steps with my fucking heart in my hand like a little bitch boy. But now, I am starting to see maybe it's got nothing to do with me. Fathers. It's on the fathers. Fathers, be good to your daughters. Why? Let me tell you. Daughters will love like you do. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me spell it out for you. Girls become lovers, the hot ones anyway, who turn into mothers. Boys, wear a fucking condom. Don't let them trap you. Anyway, mothers, you gotta be good to your daughters too. Now, boys, you can break, dude. Find out how much they can take, because boys will be strong. Have you seen these guns? Have you seen these guns? I am a fucking warrior, bro. We will be strong. We will soldier on. But, gotta say it, boys would be gone without the, how do I say this without getting demonetized? Without the warmth, right? From a woman's, let's just say good heart. You know what I mean? So on behalf of every man looking out for every girl, you are the god. You are the god and the weight of her whole fucking world, dudes. That's right. We are the gods, bro. Us men. We are the gods and the weight of their pussy-ass worlds. Do you see what I'm saying? So fathers, you gotta be good to your daughters because daughters will love like you do. Because girls, the fucking hotties anyway, they become lovers to guys like me. Have you seen these guns who turn into mothers? Not for me. Papa's not getting trapped. I see you want this Patreon quiche. So mothers, you gotta be good to your daughters too. All right, that is it for me, J. Mayer, the pussy slayer. Be sure to smash that like button like you out there smashing pussies, Puss Nation, and subscribe. I'll see you next week.
Puss Nation.
I was the whole time expecting it to like cut to an ad, the like for like the sponsored content, the like nootropic
gorilla brain pills. Yeah.
If I was smarter, I would have done that.
We are sponsored by this weird caffeine pill that
I got a YouTube
doesn't work
ad
for ladies.
I got a YouTube ad the other day that was a professor or whatever talking about why like feminism is ruining the world.
Oh god!
I was like targeted to the wrong audience, my dude.
I like watched one of those videos. Like I don't know what I watched one video once, and now my whole YouTube front page is like. These, like, the triggering the libs videos.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, oh, God.
Well, this would fit in nicely with those ones.
Shout out to men going their own way. What an MRA's wet dream that you've made.
Listen, I didn't make that. I added a couple ad-libs. That is all John made.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Don't write a fucking song like this, because in the wrong hands, it is interpreted a way you did not mean it to be. With that said, should we move on to Unpunchable Jam?
Let's do it.
Hey-o.
You can't punch this.
So
I feel like I'm expecting that to be longer every time, even though I made it. I'll go first. Mine is a song by a band called Yellow Ostrich, and I chose it because it has pretty much the same name as this one. It's called Daughter. It is not about daughters. It's not about treating daughters in any specific way. It's just a nice indie rock song with a lot of good layers. Really cool guitar riff up top. Maybe they're not as good guitarists as John Mayer, but they're still very good, and I like the song a lot. So I'm plugging it because it has the same name, and that's pretty much the only connection here.
When did it come out?
2012.
Oh, it's a recent song.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I can't wait to listen to it.
I think Yellow Ostrich is also one guy.
Oh, is he a Yellow Ostrich?
It is. The Yellow Ostrich. He's a cartoon character.
Is Big Bird an ostrich? No.
No, he's just a bird.
What kind of fucking bird is that?
Hey,
I've never seen a bird like that.
You're asking too many questions, man.
Nick, what is your unpunchable jam?
My unpunchable jam is called From Little Things, Big Things Grow.
Whoa, by who?
It's by Paul Kelly.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
It's an Australian protest song.
Ooh.
And I chose it because I've been listening to it recently, and I think that it's very good, and I can't wait for it. I mean, I don't think this song is not going to get any more popular than it has been. It came out, I think, a while ago, in 1991.
It's got time.
It's a song that I genuinely find good, and I am scared that when people hear it, they'll be like, nope, this is bad.
No.
Yeah.
What does it matter if they do, though, if you like it?
No, yeah, that's the spirit. But not what happens.
Not always followable.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I heard it in a coffee shop, which is why it's also like a, you know, it's a, if, I don't know. John Mayer's not folk, but this is a folk song.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also chose a folk song, actually. I wanted to amplify a name that I don't think enough people know outside of, like, core musicians. It's a woman named Elizabeth Cotton. She was born in 1893. She's, like, a huge resource in
That's
the folk movement.
That's why no one knows her. She did.
She did now, but she didn't die that long ago.
Oh.
She actually invented a style of guitar playing because she played left-handed and upside down. And she, like, just learned herself. And she wrote this song called Freight Train when she was 11. Anyway, she learned how to play really young and then stopped because, like, how do you make a career out of that in her position? So she was working as a maid for the Seeger family, like Pete Seeger.
Whoa.
Yeah. And played picked it up back then. This is like, I think, in her 60s. This is way later. And she basically relearned how to play. And they were like, you're amazing. Let's record you. And then she later went on to win a Grammy.
This is going to become a movie at some point. So let's just say this is Miel's You Can't Do It.
This is my idea. I found this artist. No, I'm just kidding. She's pretty known. She's like very influential in the folk music.
How is
the Seeger household must have been full of freaking music.
Yeah. Right? Everybody in that family's musician.
Dumb question. Are Pete Seeger and Bob Seeger related?
That's
what I'm assuming.
I don't know. I know.
I think
I know Mike
they're
Seeger,
even spelled differently, so that might be a dumb question.
Pete Seeger is E-E.
Oh, yeah, then no. Bob Seeger is just E-G-E.
Oh, yeah.
Also, real quick, Yellow Ostrich, not one person. Cool. Sorry. It was in my head. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fucking...
Yeah, those are some great jams, guys. We all brought something different to the
table. Yeah. All songs that you can find at your local Starbucks.
Or on our Punchable Jams playlist on Spotify.
Well, mostly on the Punchable Jams Spotify playlist. Definitely not at a Starbucks.
Nick, what can people find you doing these days?
They can find me quietly writing in a room hidden away from the world.
Nice.
But no, you make Instagram stories. They're good.
Yeah, occasionally. Once a month, I'll post on Instagram. Instagram, you can find me there, Nick Kocher, NickKocher.
Is your last name Kocher?
Yes.
We said Coker
up top,
I know,
and I was like,
Why did you correct us, you fuck? Because
one, we'd then get on to my last name, and there's like a whole story there about, because I say Kocher, and the rest of my family says Kocher, and like,
what?
It's a whole, the short version is I was getting bullied in third grade, and...
Oh, for Cocker?
They were calling me Nick, I was Nick Kocher, and they were calling me Nick the Dick Crotcher. And
that's
so
even
I
better
said,
than the two I said.
I know how to fix
Kids are
this.
Good.
I'll change the pronunciation of my last name to Kocher. See if the bullies can hit that curveball. They could.
What did they call you then?
They just went with Nick the Dick. I mean, Nick was really the thing I needed to fix.
You didn't switch to Nicholas before changing the pronunciation of
or
your last
Nicholas,
name?
Or Nicholas, I was too scared of Dickless.
That's true. You gotta always be two steps ahead.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I was called Meow Mix for a lot of my childhood. So
was never bullied.
Yeah, Demi was a jock.
Wow.
I was the bully.
Congratulations.
Demi's firmly a jock.
Yeah. So, stumped kids into lockers, dishing out.
K-A-K-O-C-H-E-R?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. On everything.
Yes, on Twitter, and then you can go to Britannic.com if you'd like.
Oh yeah, you have some good YouTube videos.
And then I perform stand-up occasionally. I usually post about that on Instagram.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
Talking
us your story.
Oh, I was happy to.
Thank you for reliving your heartbreak on air.
Yeah,
you're very brave. If you want to follow the show, we're at Punch Up the Jam anywhere. Demi's at Electrolemon. I'm at Meow or Meow Monster. Mm-hmm. By this, we should have a Patreon done.
Oh,
up,
we should.
Ready.
This Patreon should have been up for maybe a month now.
Yeah, I'm bad with time.
You can submit your own Unpunchable Jam, you can submit your own Unpunchable Jam or Punchable Jam for us to punch up. Punchupthejam.com. You can send us an email, punchupthejam@gmail.com. You already said follow the show.
Yeah, and I think on our Patreon, one of our rewards, assuming it's launched already, it should be, is that once a month we're going to do the viewer choice. So if you're a patron, you get to choose the song that we do for the month, the one with the most votes we'll do. And then we'll make extra bonus contents of the making of the jams, the punch-ups, and that'll all be there. So check that out if you haven't, because there's some cool fucking perks there. Bonus episodes every week. Yeah. Anyway.
And you can check out google.com if you're trying to find something.
And that's it.
Bye. End of the plugs. Goodbye.
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey!
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.